Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. We are entering the 6 o'clock hour. This is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia studios. Mike, Bo, and Tiff here with you on a Christmas Eve. So, Merry Christmas Eve to all of you.
Merry Christmas Eve.
Happy holidays to everybody.
Yep.
How'd you guys, how did the evening go, is what I'm trying to ask. Actually, I have something to say first. I'm going to pull it up on my phone. I did the Colts and the Titans game this weekend. I'm doing a lap around the stadium, kind of making my rounds, getting notes, talking to folks. And I hear someone shout my name from the stands. And I was like, who is this person?
Oh, nice.
And he's like, hey, I listen to you guys every morning.
What?
And so I was like, what? Okay, clearly he listens to our show. So he was saying, hi, his name is Ryan, and he lives in Atlanta. Flew up for the Colts game because he is an Indianapolis fan, and they did get the win. So, hello to Ryan. Thanks for listening.
There
and,
you go.
Made my day.
Nice, man. Ryan, why aren't you a Falcons fan is the next question I have for you. But nonetheless,
I
thank you for listening.
If I listen enough because I was multitasking.
Maybe he's not from here.
He has family in Indiana, but they live in Atlanta. I think he might be from Indiana, if I'm correct.
Well, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I appreciate Ryan. You had a wildly entertaining game.
I did.
Not expected either.
No.
I never would have thought you bench Will Levis and Mason Rudolph comes in and says, you know, I'm going to drop a 30-burger and we're going to make this thing close.
It started off good for them and then it kind of fizzled out and then they came back. So I was surprised to see the Colts had let them back in the game that much. But I covered 5 miles in that game because of injuries. Everyone kept going down, which is terrible. But the game ended up being... yeah, absolutely crazy, but their playoff chances for the Colts were really slim going in, and they had to absolutely win to try to maintain it.
I have not paid a ton of attention to the Colts this year. I was kind of shocked to see that they moved to 7-8 on the year. I mean, like, I was like, man, they've had their ups and downs. We've talked about Anthony Richardson. Honestly, we've talked about both these teams and the interesting future that is the quarterback position for both these teams, but Anthony Richardson continues to do just enough. And Jonathan Taylor, I know that you talked to him, Tiff. He's a special athlete, man. Special athlete.
Monster game. That was his second career game of 200 plus rushing yards. He had 253 is like the record that that's what he had. I think it was last year or the 2 years before that, whatever it was. But yeah, in the game on Sunday, I think he had 213 or 212 is what he finished with. So absolutely insane ground game for the Colts with Anthony Richardson factoring into that in a big way. As well.
Yes, yeah, it's been over four games. He's won four straight games out throwing over 200 yards. I don't know, it's a grind. I mean, they're obviously run base right now with Jonathan Taylor, but at some point next year, Anthony Richardson is going to have to take that step as a pocket, you know, in the pocket to, if they're going to have any chances of kind of becoming a force in the AFC.
Why do you think it is that Jaden Daniels in his style translate so much better than Anthony Richardson? Is it accuracy?
It's accuracy. We talked a lot about that in our meetings. And that's one of the areas that Coach Shane Steichen felt like Anthony Richardson was improving in since he's been back as a starter for the last four games. But Richardson was actually telling us, too, he spent time, if I can get my words together, in the offseason. And really, it was almost learning how to throw again because you forget he's coming off of that injury. He's not looking at this as it being his rookie year at all, but it kind of feels like that because he didn't get the full season last year. So he talked a lot about trying to get his base right. And footwork.
I think experience is a lot to do with it too. Jaden Daniels played a lot of college football. Anthony Richardson didn't. He essentially was a one year starter at Florida.
22.
And he didn't start until his final year there, which I think was his redshirt junior year, and he was hurt a lot of that time leading up to that 1 year, and he was hurt some during that season. He was hurt in the NFL, and Jaden Daniels was more of a – I mean, you got to go remember, Jaden Daniels went and ran more of a pro-style type offense at LSU than what Florida was running with Anthony Richardson as well. And the Brian Kelly effect, I think all of that adds into it. Plus, I mean, I'm not trying to say he's this or that, but to me, Anthony Richardson is a run-first guy where Jaden Daniels is a run-to-throw.
When I wrap that him being 22 is that you see guys out there, you mentioned the experience, that's huge. You have Bo Nix, who's what, 25 or something like that? He was married in college.
Michael Penix is almost 25.
And I was going to bring up Penix, too. I'm not sure how old Jaden Daniels is. I think I don't want to say up there. I'm talking about a 20-something
probably girl, 23 if I had to guess.
So,
years at Arizona State, 2 years at LSU. So he's probably right in that realm that normal
he's
kind 24. Of rookie age.
Is he? He turned 24.
So, the experience factor
a few days ago
is huge that you brought up.
Yeah.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. All right. Monday Night Football featured the Green Bay Packers and the Saints, and it was ugly for New Orleans, which should make some of you happy out there as the Packers shut them out 34-0 to clinch a playoff berth.
I wouldn't have minded seeing New Orleans win because it would have hurt their draft status.
Well, not and, only that, but
I want to keep them in the middle.
Are they against Tampa this week? Is that this week or next week?
No, it's next week. Carolina gets Tampa this week because we get Carolina.
I was kind of hoping that New Orleans was going to look a little bit better just knowing that Tampa's got them on the schedule, right? And that's kind of the thing looking forward. And you need, it'd be bonus if Tampa could drop a game.
It is for the end of the season, as you know, playing a D in Tampa as opposed to Green Coldest.
Yeah, I agree. Getting ready to find out here, too, about playing those division rivals at the end of the year. So
yeah, well, that Carolina is a scary one. And if anybody's going to trip anybody up, it's going to be Carolina.
Exactly.
And here's the problem for me. I think Carolina gets one of their next two games. It just damn well better not be us.
Oh, man.
And if it's Tampa, I mean, giddy up.
Let's go.
Because I am 9-8, 10-7, who gives a crap? I want to play in the second week of January. That's what I care about.
I'm with you, man. This was a 14-point spread last night. I was telling Bo when we got in, this is a 14-point spread last night. There was one other game that was this big a spread this weekend, and it was Patriots-Bills, and that game was a squeaker as a 14-point spread. That's two of the biggest lines of the football season. So when you saw this one and you knew that Spencer Rattler was playing and Alvin Kamara was out, you knew it was going to be an uphill climb. And let's just call it what it is. Josh Jacobs is good. Green Bay is good. I mean, they are a pleasure to watch right now. That offensive line and that running game, with what they're able to do and how tough Josh Jacobs runs, it just blows your mind that they're third in that division. I mean, it feels unfair for them, man. They've been playing such a good brand of football, and to be third in that division doesn't feel fair, but nonetheless, man, they're going to scare some people come playoff time.
So you mentioned the Panthers. It's they get the Bucs next, and then, of course, end the season with something to be concerned about. But maybe some of those concerns are diminishing. At least you saw Michael Penix come out the gate in his first NFL start. Yes, it was against the Giants, but he did everything right that he was supposed to do.
Yeah, I mean, he did everything he was supposed to do. And I was listening to some – I heard Zeno yesterday, and he was like, well, yeah, but if you take away the two pick sixes, it's only 20-7. And that's one way of looking at it. I also think if you take away the two pick sixes, they don't take the pass. And I think that they continue to run the offense more open than they did because they didn't have to. And you didn't have to do anything with him. You didn't want too much. But also you look at they showed they gave Washington more looks than they have since probably the maybe all season, Mike, offensively.
Yeah.
Like they're like as in to study for.
Yeah, look, man, it's gonna be a tough battle. You're gonna have to play very differently this week as opposed to how you have really the last few. And you and I were kind of talking this morning, kind of going back and forth. When's the last time or when this year have we seen a quarterback that moves Daniels does? Because I think that's going to force you to play offense differently as well with Michael Penix. I think if you get into a football game, you got to be able to put up points. And I go back to really Bo Nix right before the bye week. I don't know that you've had anybody like Jaden Daniels, but you've played some guys that move around decently well. It's going to force the hand of the offense to be able to score points. And I'm with you. I mean, like, I hear what Zeno's saying, but to me, that hey, you can talk all you want to about complimentary football, and you got to talk about the other way around, where you take your foot off the gas
yeah.
when you don't need it. That's kind of the frustrating part of that. And, you know, that some people, well, you know, in 20, that's fine. You didn't need those, and why put Michael Penix in a bad situation to turn the ball over and do those other things? So they're going to have to throw the ball down the field this weekend, though.
There's no reason in putting any – some of you know, you were able to pull starters midway through the fourth quarter. And, you know, you got to get Jake some rest and Lindstrom some rest. You know, you got Dahlman rest. You got you kept Michael in there, but you were basically just running the football. You were able to get Drake out early because, you know, he tweaked that hammy, but I guess he could have came back in, but you didn't have to run him back in there.
Yep.
So that was the beauty of what, you know, walking up 18, tipping your cap to the crowd. That's the beauty of it. But to that point, Matthew Judon talked to us in postgame about Jaden Daniels, and he's like, look, he's a guy that can run, but he doesn't want to run. And he alluded to the fact that you have to stay in your pass rush lanes.
Yeah.
Your pass rush discipline has to be there because if you overrush essentially, then you give him creases to step up and move. And he had, what, 81 yards on less than 10 carries last week?
Well, they put the game in his hands, and so they obviously have a lot of trust in him, even him being a rookie. They don't treat him like one up there. And then something I was listening to Marcus Pierce say on Monday Night Football was talking about how Dan Quinn, defense is what he does, right? That he's going to anticipate him trying to light up Michael Penix as much as he can with trying to blitz.
Well, that's going to be, Tiff, that's a great point. I think that's going to be really the story of the game this weekend is we saw it and we wondered, doing the show Friday from Twin Peaks, our kind of conversation with Dave Archer was, you know, what does Michael Penix do against the blitz? One of the things that you feel like they've been teeing off on Kirk Cousins, blitzing the A-gaps, using up Bijan in pass protection. And Kirk, obviously, even when he does get the ball out, the ball's getting batted at the line of scrimmage. What does Michael Penix do? In the very first third down, we saw they go double A-gap mugs. Now, they didn't blitz. They backed off. But it was almost challenging Michael Penix to say, you know, what are you going to do here? We dare you. What are you going to do? And to all of their credit, you slip Bijan out of the backfield, even with the double A-gap mugs, and you're able to get the ball off to him. So I anticipate a ton of blitz, and I am anticipate it from all angles. I'm not just double A-gap mugs. I mean, weak dogs, safety blitz, corner cats, things like that to try to throw Michael Penix off his game and force him to read defenses and play like a veteran quarterback and hit his second only start. So I think it's going to be the story of the game to see what Dan Quinn does against not only a rookie quarterback but a rookie play caller and offense coordinator in Zach Robinson to say, look, dude, got to prove your mettle here and tell me you've got a backup plan for some of these situations.
Well, I think Raheem knows him as well as anybody. He spent a long time with Dan, and they've been on both sides together. As far as, you know, he was on the defensive side with Dan when Dan took over in 16, Raheem was already, I think, on the wide receivers, but the year before he had been your defensive passing game coordinator. So he knows kind of what Dan wants to do. He knows what he's going to try to run, but Dan's going to find exotic ways and sneaky little ways to bring him because he doesn't have Micah Parsons over there. He's got a good defensive lineman. He doesn't have a Micah Parsons, and that's key.
When we come back here on the morning shift, let's give you a preview of what to expect from the Dogs next week as they open up the college football playoffs. And what does it mean for quarterback Carson? I almost wanted to say Carson Wentz there. Carson Beck. There we go. Caught myself. Georgia released an official announcement on his status. We'll have that for you on the other side. When we come back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Trae Young on the left wing. Trae now dribbling in the middle. Stops and shoots a three. And makes it. Trae hits a three-pointer. He's got 26 and the Hawks are up 114-100.
Steve Holman on the call of a Hawks win over the Timberwolves 117-104. This is the morning shift. We are back here in the Kia Studios.
Day Day, you're having fun with the Christmas music, ain't you?
I know. I was watching. Getting distracted.
I love it. I love it. My kids are learning the Christmas carols and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I'm all over it, man. I'm just singing them. Like, I'm in the car singing them to myself.
My 3-year-old, he doesn't really know the words yet to a lot of songs, but he has the cadence and all that stuff. Right.
I don't know what song was playing in BS on Sunday in pregame, but it was I can't remember what song it was. Maybe it was during halftime, but there was a Christmas song playing, and that's like out of nowhere. Jake, our engineer, goes, I mean, I'm all for Christmas music, but this song sucks.
And I was a Grinch, Jake. Yeah.
I was like,
a Grinch.
Nah, but yeah, the Hawks did Hawks win last night. Look, the Hawks had a great shooting night as far as 3-point land. When you shoot 50% from three, and over like 53% from the floor, you got a good chance of winning. Now they did turn the ball over, but luckily for them, Minnesota turned the ball over well, and I think Mike has found yet another obscure Hawks player to buy the jersey of.
No, I'm not going the Garrison Matthews route.
Well, he's a little bit obscure, wouldn't you agree? I mean, he's not not a household name.
I think it's funny to call someone.
I went either season or career high in points last night. And when you're coming off the bench and you get as many points as you do minutes, then you're kind of in the right zone. 25 points, 25 minutes, 7 of 8 from 3-point range. He was incredible. He couldn't miss. And it's like every time you watch Garrison Matthews get the ball kicked out to him or kicked over to him, that you know that things are going down. Trae Young starting to heat up too. This game is a lot different than I think the Hawks have been most of the season. They've started to heat up recently shooting the ball, but like everything on the margins has been worse. You know what I mean? They've been turning the ball over. They're not getting the offensive boards the way they're used to. So it's interesting to watch the dynamic. They were on a little bit of a skid, losing to the Spurs, which they had their own little action-packed game last night. But, you know, the threes are starting to fall, which is awesome, but it's like you want the rest of what the Hawks do well to keep coming with it. Keep playing defense, you know, don't turn the ball over, crash the offensive boards, and continue to do the same things that kind of got you, you know, to relevance in the first place. But look, big win at home last night. They were 3.5-point dogs against the T-Wolves. And they're able to get it done. So I think any way you try to stretch it, no matter what the numbers say, getting the win last night was a big deal.
On to the Bulldogs now. Georgia quarterback Carson Beck underwent successful surgery on Monday on his right elbow to repair his UCL. This is what the school announced. And he will not be available in the college football playoff. However, he is expected to make a full recovery. That's according to the school's release. So he had this surgery done out in L.A. by a renowned orthopedic surgeon. So hopefully the outlook will look good for him in recovery.
What do we think about his prospects is the next question. You know, coming off of surgery, what will the draft status be? What does his opportunities look like in college football? Is Georgia part of that story? I mean, there's so many questions left to be had about Carson Beck. And the fact that you make as much money as you do now as a quarterback in college football, it keeps things wide open for him. And I've had a lot of the same questions about Jalen Milroe over at Alabama. Is this a guy that, you know, you think should return? A lot of these guys have that super senior year still in their back pocket. The money being thrown around out there to top-tier quarterbacks in college football is pretty good. You know, it's about what I think maybe a second rounder might come home with in their rookie year. So it's intriguing to say the least. And Carson Beck, obviously, with a number of questions going forward. But right now, this is Gunnar Stockton's team. I'd be curious to see what they're able to do. But it sounds to me like Georgia feels pretty confident with him at the helm.
Yeah, I think they should. You know, he was a phenomenal high school player. And he stepped in a tough situation in a game you're losing and helped win you the game. I mean, he did it with his legs and his arm, and you can make up for some of his inexperience with his legs, right? You can kind of – it's an equalizer. I feel like Carson Beck and Jalen Milroe, to me, are two different situations. I think Milroe's in a situation where he would benefit from coming back. I think he could benefit from another year in college as a, you know, in a system like Kalen DeBoer wants to run. But I also think that for Kalen DeBoer, he's got to figure out how to utilize, get the best out of Jalen Milroe, and that's with his legs and his arm. With Carson Beck, I would just go ahead and go to the NFL. I don't really see the point in coming back and risking another. Now, what happens with coming off essentially Tommy John surgery is something, you know, it's kind of that's a tough one right there in its own right. But whatever the scouts tell you, I see Carson Beck as a guy that would benefit from going pro, because I don't think he's going to be the quarterback at Georgia next year. Either way, if he's here, if he comes back to college, or if he, you know, whatever, I think he's a guy. To your point, somebody might pay him, but is there a Power Four conference that's going to pay him as much as he can make at Georgia? And then given a situation like he has at Georgia, go to the pros, dude. You should have went last year, and you came back for a national title. You should have went last year. You would have been there were enough quarterback needy teams, and you would have been a first round pick somewhere.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. So, yeah, I felt like him coming back next year isn't going to really do him any good. Has probably the stock went down, obviously, this year, I'm sure. But dealing with the injury and trying to recover from that, probably better off to just go ahead and head to the NFL.
I disagree with both of y'all. I think y'all both lost your minds. There will be a $3+, maybe even $4 million offer out there for him to go to a Power Four school.
I'm not saying people wouldn't want him, but I think from the health perspective, yeah, I don't know if I'd want to come back.
I don't know that with his stock falling the way it did and coming off of elbow surgery, that there's any chance that he's going to be a first round pick. And so when I look at it from that perspective, like I said, the money says that why not play another year of college football where you can get that money guaranteed and get $3 or $4 million. And then try to raise your stock back up to be in a first round setup. Guys, if you're in a second round pick, all right, and you're making whatever, $2 million guaranteed on your signing bonus, and I think the rookie minimum is $800,000. I don't know, man. I see it as an opportunity for Carson Beck to get it back to where it was before this season, given the right circumstance.
I'm not saying he can't do that, but I'm just looking at this purely from the health perspective and you coming back to playing college again. If it were me, he had the surgery, I would recover and then take my chances in the draft and see what happens.
Well, who are the top quarterbacks in this draft?
Shador? Shador, the kid from Miami.
Cam Ward.
You know, you're going to – honestly, after that, it's kind of a cliff.
Quinn needs a quarterback right now, too,
obviously, the Giants need a quarterback. Jets are probably in play.
The Raiders. Raiders got to have a quarterback.
Because Nussmeier's coming back, right? He already announced that. Yeah. You know, Jackson Dart could be in there. But do you think Jackson Dart's a better pro prospect than Carson Beck? And do you think Quinn Ewers is a better pro? Because Quinn Ewers might be out there on the market, too.
I think he will be. I think they're both going to be in very similar circumstances.
Because I think the future, Texas – sees the future, and it's Arch Manning. And they're not going to hold Arch because one of those guys won't be there next year.
No, I agree. It's a very similar circumstance. The only difference with Quinn Ewers is he didn't have elbow surgery, right? And so,
true. But the thing that for me about Quinn Ewers is he looks complete – with that ankle, I know his ankle's kind of bothering him, so he looks even less mobile than he already is. But Carson's at least a guy that can pick him up and put him down outside of the pocket.
Yeah, I mean, he can do, but I don't know, man. Like, and you brought up Milroe, you know, he would stand to have another year in Kalen DeBoer's system. We're at that point in college football, and I think Bama's at the same point as Texas and at Georgia. At what point are you ready to turn the page and turn the keys over? Now, Bama, I don't think Bama's backup, which is Ty Simpson right now, is even near what you've got in Gunnar Stockton and Arch Manning. But at the same time, I think maybe he fits the scheme a little bit better at Alabama. So I would look for Milroe to probably go pro. And Carson Beck, just because of the injury, I don't know. I would look and at least see what's out there. And look, all these guys have agents. They've got people in their ear. They've got, you know, different situations to kind of tend to and pay attention to. But I could get $3 or $4 million out there in the free agent college market, I would look hard at that.
I think Milroe could get it too.
Probably could.
Yep. But if Milroe wants to go pro, he to me is an Anthony Richardson type prospect.
I agree.
There's so much more unknown than known. Now there's more known about Milroe than there was Richardson, but as far as how he progresses as an NFL quarterback, I think there's a lot more unknown.
I think, to your point, I think when you're Carson Beck, you're looking at Quinn Ewers. I think when you're Jalen Milroe, you probably are looking at like a Jackson Dart and seeing what, you know, what the comps are and seeing, you know, what all is out there and what's available. Because I think Cam Ward and Shadur are the cream of the crop right now. I think you're going to have – I don't know what the future holds for like Dylan Gabriel, guys like that. But it doesn't seem like it's near as strong as last year, and it doesn't seem like there's as many teams that are going to be quarterback needy as last year.
When we come back here on the morning shift, Falcons and Commanders, Sunday Night Football, what was Raheem Morris most happy with the way Michael Penix Jr. played on Sunday? That's up next year on the morning shift. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain, or this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We'll be right back here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. You're having too much fun back there, Day-Day.
I love it. I'm here for it, man.
I feel like you're in a DJ booth right now. That's how you look to me.
He's spinning them.
He really is.
I love it, man. I love it.
You got all the kids' gifts? Well, with the help of Santa Claus?
Yes.
Wrapped?
Yes. So, my kids are well aware that Santa brings a lot of presents. Mommy and Daddy give them gifts. We got the grandparents in town. My mother-in-law and my parents came in town yesterday. So, they're good and ready. They're hooked up. My job is to simply, buy mommy's gifts, and mommy gets the kids. It's just how it works in my household. So, I feel like I'm under the pressure of making sure that she's hooked up. So, just is what it is, man. We're good and ready. We're good and ready. We're ready to rock. Santa's coming in on one sled ski tonight. Not on two wheels, just on one sled ski.
Oh, it is tonight, man.
Yeah.
I forgot it was tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys done shopping? Got
so,
last minute today?
I gotta pick up one small thing, but not for Amy. But you know what's funny is one of the gifts we're pretty like, hey, this is what we want. Because we don't, and every once in a while, I did a surprise. Last year was totally a surprise for her. But normally we're get what you want kind of people. And one of the things she wanted was apparently a pre-order. I don't know if she knew. And I was having this conversation with Day-Day. And so as I hit buy, it said, your pre-order has been done. And I was like,
dude, that is not good. When you don't have it to wrap.
Well, you know what I'm going to. She's
not
listening.
Do the printer option?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
You're damn right I am.
That's the only way you can go.
I'm like, hey, you said you wanted it.
So this happened to me for Mother's Day or my wife's birthday. I cannot remember which one it was, but she wanted a set of dining room chairs. And they're expensive. So I was like, I'll buy two of them for birthday, two for Mother's Day, whatever it was. And they were, like you said, pre-order, back order. And I printed the picture. And she looks at it and she's like, oh, thanks. And I was like, that's what you sent. You literally sent me the link. And she's like, yeah, this is not the right color. And I was like, oh.
The wrong color. Okay.
But to your point, or I guess not to your point, it ended up being a good thing it was a pre-order or back order. Because then we got to call and we canceled it and I got her something else. But she looked at it and I was like, this is exactly the link you sent me. This is your fault. She's like, yeah, it's definitely my fault, but it's definitely not the right color. And I was like, oh, man.
So, not.
And we're still redoing the dining room at my house, putting wallpaper on the ceiling.
Oh, I wanted to say something so bad.
Yeah, did you see that post?
Lindsay posted that she was finally doing the, I don't know if you remember, but I feel like the dining room project started last spring.
It was in the summer. It started in the summer. Miserable.
Yeah, and some people put their foot in the ground and said,
yes,
it is not my project. I refuse to do anything.
Put their foot yes. down. Okay.
And yeah.
I tried.
So finally, Lindsay is doing it, the wallpaper or whatever. And I wanted to message, I wanted to like comment on her post so badly and be like, huh? December, huh?
No, dude, don't do that.
Did it with the in-laws because, there,
because,
huh?
I was going to say, because in her defense, and I know that Day Day knows this, she hasn't had time to do that. And I've put my foot down and said, I'm not doing it. So the only time she's been able to do it is when the grandparents are in town,
but
which
I just
is right
to
now.
Say
she's
something.
Like, let's get it knocked out.
I just wanted to, like, poke the bear a little bit.
Yeah, please don't.
Because I know what she would have done. It's like, so you've been complaining at work about the dining room? Is that what it is?
You know good well that when you poke the bear with her, it comes straight back to me, and she's like, oh, Bo was talking trash on Instagram. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, why
come
else,
on, bro.
Why else would I talk trash to her? I got no beef with Lindsay other than to give you beef.
Wait till I'm allowed to tell the story about the three TVs I just bought. She was not happy about that one.
Oh, you can put those boxes in my truck if you need to.
That one went over. That one went over well.
I got room in the recycling bin now.
It's already out there, so it's all good. Yeah, I'm not telling that story today, man. I bought something without her knowing, and she was hot.
That's a tease for 2025, apparently.
Michael Penix strikes me as a guy that would probably help put the wallpaper up. He goes to Costco, probably likes to help shop, do all those things. But that is probably the least impressive thing about him for Coach Raheem Morris, who was really happy with the way he played on Sunday against the Giants.
Yeah, I was really pleased with his composure, his poise, his ability to click through progressions. You know, it was a couple of throws that he wants back. You know, the back shoulder fade to Drake. He probably wants a little bit higher. The missed connection on the early third down, we missed it right before he missed the field goal. He probably wants that back. You know, the decision at the end of the half, you know, not necessarily on him, but like he just feels like he can make a better play there and end the half with points. But realistically, man, you know, it was a pretty clean game at the quarterback position. And I'm very pleased with what he did and how he did it and the support that he had around him.
The comment about the
perfect comment from Raheem right there.
The tipped. Bobbled whatever interception is one thing Arch did say was you don't throw it there because of the time.
Yep.
And a lot of people are complaining about the time management of that drive.
No.
I'm not sure why, because I thought the time management was absolutely brilliantly done. What you did is you wasted was like almost 4 minutes of the clock.
You let it click all the way down, which I loved.
And the whole thing was you score and then they have no time left to try to score and then turn around and get another score to start the second half with the ball. I saw, oh, it's horrible time management. That was as well done as you could do, especially with a rookie quarterback in his first start, that you managed the clock that well and no one panicked. I thought that was phenomenally done. The throw was a mistake, and it was magnified by a bigger mistake from the receiving end of the throw.
Yeah. Well, and let me add real quick. Let me add the clock management thing. People say, hey, keep your timeouts, run the football. We've been running the football well. Guys, we're not good at running the football inside the 10-yard line. We're just not. Like, we haven't been all season. We haven't been for a number of years. We've been rough in the red zone, right? And we haven't been good at running the ball in short yards. Now, if you want to flip around to me and say, I think we were 6 of 7 in short yardage this past week, which was incredible. But just on the whole of the year, we have not been good in short yardage. So I think that's something to keep in mind when you look at decision-making process. I loved what Raheem did. He drained the entire clock. If Michael Penix just puts the ball in the end zone and or Kyle Pitts does not bobble right there with whatever it was, 5 seconds left, then we're not even talking about it. So I thought he managed it well.
Yeah, and I think the maturity is was really, you could just, we went back and we're watching the All 22 earlier. And I think you might have mentioned it, Mike, or it was Arch one. What somebody mentioned, just even the way he was sending guys in motion, just little hand gestures that weren't like overly exaggerated. Everything he did Sunday felt like it was one of many that he's done in the NFL.
Yeah, not only that, I said this to Chris Goforth, and I did not mention that. I think Arch did in the broadcast about how calm and collected he looked before the snap. But also, I think twice that he used a hard count to get the opposing defensive line offsides, which is, I mean, that's a veteran presence, man. That means you have an understanding of what's going on, and the moment's not too big for you. The communication's not too big for you. So he was impressive a lot of ways. I love what Raheem comes out and says. Realistically, it was a very impressive game because he mentions a couple situations you like to have back. He mentions the first third down throw to Drake that resulted in the missed field goal.
Yeah, I hated that play call.
It was like a back shoulder overthrow. And I know that when you have Drake one-on-one in that kind of slot position and he's kind of breaking out towards the sideline, it probably feels like the way to go. I'm sure that's what Zach Robinson wanted him to do, but that's not a high percentage throw on a third down. And I want to say it was third and two. Correct me if I'm wrong. I want to say it was third and two, and you just thought, man,
yeah,
you were running the ball. It just felt like you could have run downhill there.
Yeah, and it's the weather could be an issue Sunday because it is going to be – there's 75% chance of rain.
Oh!
Now, the low is only going to be – 40. Now, since it's a night game, the low is going to be 45, the high is 58 for the day.
Could be worse.
So I imagine you're going to be probably somewhere around 50 degrees.
He played in Washington. He'll be fine.
That's a good point.
He did, but it's – I do believe – I think they have – turf up there in Washington. This is a grass field. It's going to be wet. It's going to be slippery. The footing is always an issue in that stadium when it rains. It's a slop.
I was going to say, there ain't no latest technology up at that place.
No.
That place is...
they still have the chalk line where Sean pie. Witherspoon ended Robert Griffin III's career.
It's always heard that
you
can put a statue there.
Yeah. We visit it every time we come there. We walk down the sideline, we visit it, and just, you know, you can
sprinkle some rosin down there.
Yeah. You can still hear the screams.
Okay.
you know,
I was standing right there when it happened, too.
Dude,
standing right there.
I'm telling you, that was one of those moments where it was like, what's that? What is that? Wasn't there like a show at one point in time, Welcome to the NFL?
Yeah, Welcome to the NFL, Rook, or
yeah,
something like that.
That was it for RG3.
Hey, Rook, welcome to the NFL.
Yeah, that was it for him. Dude, go out of bounds. But that said, it's gonna be interesting because I feel like no matter, I don't think we've ever, I think every time I've been there, and I've been there four at least, and I think every one of them's been a contested game. It's not despite what you kind of think, the crowd's always good, and it's not an easy place to win.
It's not, and it'll be under the bright lights of Sunday Night Football too. Do you think that, given the way the season has gone, I know a move had to be made to put him in at quarterback, but also just the timing of it, knowing that you would have a game against the Giants, again, not disrespecting them, but you get a game at home before now he gets, you know, this is a big game.
I think the timing was as deep into the run as it could have been. Tiff, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago that I thought it would have been against the Raiders because while that is an away game, it's probably one of the easier away games you could ever have. You know, you're going to go into a dome stadium and play against the Raiders and know that you'll have a contingent of Falcons fans there, which you did. But, soft landing this week. And simply put, he's going to have to play out of his mind, I think, this weekend. And we're really going to have to put him up to bat if we're going to come away with a victory against Dan Quinn, against Jaden Daniels, and a very, very good football team.
Yeah, they got 39 sacks. Their defense, they've only got 6 interceptions, which is, I say only. But their defense has been...
Marshawn Lattimore added to the mix, what, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, good call.
Yeah, and he's the kind of corner that gives Falcons receivers trouble. Now, I don't know how they're going to use him. I know Dan is a big... I've got to do some research on Washington's defense still, but Dan's obviously a guy that likes to run that, you know, cover 3 defense, right? And wants to, you know, kind of play that it's a deep zone. But Marshawn in his career has been a guy when he was at New Orleans that did a good job of coming up and getting handsy, getting physical. He's very grabby. You know, he's going. Let's be honest. If the referees are calling the game,
I love it when you're honest.
Well, I just live by your example. But if you if can't do that, man.
You can't keep doing it, blaming it on me.
It's your fault. It's your fault. You know, in Good Will Hunting, when I say it's not your fault, no, this is your fault.
It's not your fault.
But look, if the referees are doing their job and they're watching the game closely, there should be some holding calls.
There should be some pass interference. I completely agree.
Illegal contacts, you know?
Well, we've talked about Michael Penix Jr. You brought up Jaden Daniels before. How can the Falcons' defense contain him? That is on the other side when we return here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.